Today we're going to continue with Maseches Megillah Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. If you remember, the last discussion we had in Dav Vav Amud Beis was when you have two Adars, Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, so there was a machlokas which Adar we celebrate Purim in. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi says he celebrated in the first Adar, because we said, Ein Mavir Nal Mitzvos, you should try to celebrate Purim as early as possible, do any mitzvah as early as possible. Rav Shimon and Liel held, no, you do it in the second Adar, and we said the reason is because of Lemismach Geula LeGeula. We want to put the Geula of Purim right near the Geula of Pesach, so we do it just like every other year. We celebrate Purim in the month right before Nisan, so too in the year where there are two Adars, we celebrate Purim in the month right before Nisan. So the Gemara picks up two lines from the bottom of Daf Vav Amud Beis, last one line, Rav Elazar Amar Taimid Rav Shmuel Gamliel Mehacha. There's another reason why Rav Shmuel Gamliel says to celebrate in the second Adar, and that is from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, "L'kayem es higeres haPurim hazos hashenis," to fulfill this Megillah of Purim, hashenis, the second one. What's the second one? Meaning, in the second Adar, that's when we should fulfill the mitzvah. So why do I need two different sources to tell me that you're supposed to celebrate Purim in the second Adar? One, the word hashenis, which we just learned, and the other one about connecting one geula to the other geula, like we do every year. So answers the Gemara, v'isrich l'michtav hashenis, v'isrich l'michtav b'kol shana v'shana. We need both drushas, both the drusha that tells me to do it in the second one from the word hashenis, and the one that tells me to do it in the second one because every year we do it the month before Nisan. If we only would have had the pasuk that tells me to do it the same way we do it every other year, I would have thought, like we asked in yesterday's shiur, that really it should be done in the first month then, because in every other year it's done in the month after Shvat, and Ein Mavir Nal Mitzvos, you should do it right away. So Kamashmalan Hashenis, that's why I need Hashenis to tell me no, we do it in the second Adar. V'yashmin and Hashenis, and if I only had Hashenis, Hava Amina B'tchila B'rishon U'B'sheni, I would have thought that the best thing to do is to celebrate Purim both in the first Adar and the second Adar. That's why the pasuk says Bikol Shana V'Shana, to tell me no, that just like in every other year you only do it once, so too when there are two Adars we only celebrate Purim once, and that is in the second Adar. That's Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel's opinion. Rabbi Yossi, Hai Hashenis my Avalei. What does Rabbi Yossi do with the word Hashenis? Remember, Rabbi Yossi is the one who held that we celebrate Purim in the first Adar. So what's he going to do with the word Hashenis? He uses it for what Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda teaches. Damar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, b'tchila kavua b'shushan, ul b'sof b'kala olam kulo. Initially they established Purim only in Shushan, and then by the second year already, they were celebrating it in the entire world. So what does it mean, Hashenis, that we should celebrate Purim the way they did the second year, already in the entire world, not to only have it in Shushan, but it has nothing to do with which of the two Adars you celebrate Purim in. That's how Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi is going to understand it. Good, period. That's the end of yesterday's discussion about the two Adars. Now we begin a new discussion. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Shalchalam Esther L'Chachamim. Esther sent a message to the Chachamim, Kva'uni L'Doros. Important concept. Kva'uni L'Doros. That's a very popularly quoted line that Esther has. Essentially what she says is, write my story in a book, and I want this book to be part of Tanakh. Make this book something critical. Make this book something that's going to be part of the Jewish of the major books studied by Jews for all times. I want to be celebrated for generations. So Sholchula, they sent a letter to her, the Chachamim sent back to her, Kina atma reres aleinu lebeinu umos. If you do that, then the nations of the world are going to be jealous. They're not going to be happy about this. It's like you're flaunting our success at their expense. They're not going to be happy about that. It's going to cause a lot of anti-Semitism. So Sholchul Ahem, she sent back to them, Kavar kesuvani al divrei hayamim lemalchei madayu paras. What are you worried about? I'm already in their history books. Meaning the story's already there in their own history books. So you don't have to worry about putting our story in the Jewish children's books, because it's already out there anyway. So main point number one, Esther wanted to be written for future generations. The Chacham only agreed once they realized that her story was already in the secular history books. So she wanted to be recorded in history, in the Jewish history books. The Chachamim only agreed once they realized that she was already in the secular history books. Rav Rabbi Chanina Rabbi Yochanan, back in the Gemara, Rav Rabbi Chanina Rabbi Yochanan Rav Chaviva, this group of four rabbis, Masnu Bekulei Seidemoi Kolki Aizuga Chilufa Rabbi Yochanan Ma'il Rabbi Yonasan. Some say that any time in Seder Moed you quote this group of four rabbis, the third rabbi should not be Rabbi Yochanan, it should be Rabbi Yonasan. Okay, but anyway, this a group of four rabbis said, Shalchal HaMaster L'Chacham Kesvuni L'Doros. Esther sent a message to the Chacham, I want my story to be written for generations. Shalchal HaLokasavtulach Shalishim Shalishim V'lo Ribeim. So they said, but wait a second, doesn't the Torah say, doesn't the Pasuk say rather in Mishle, Halo Kasaftilach Shalishim, that the story of Amalek, or the mention of defeating Amalek, should only be mentioned three times in Tanakh, not four times. So it's already written three times in Tanakh. It's already in Sefer Shemos, in Sefer Devarim, and in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. So we can't write it again by writing a whole book about how you defeated Haman, who represents Amalek. Until they found a pasuk in the Torah that hinted to the idea that they should write Megillas Esther. What's the pasuk in the Torah? Ksov zos zikaron basefer. How do we see from that pasuk to write Megillas Esther? As follows. Ksov zos, masha kasov kan of the Mishnah Torah. Zos refers to what's already written in Shemos and in Devarim. Zikaron refers to masha kasov b'neviim, what's written in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Ba'sefer, and then there's supposed to be another mention of Amalek in a sefer. So that's masha kasov b'megillah. That refers to what it says in the Megillah. And so, says the Gemara, Kitanai, really it's machlokas tanayim, whether you can use that pasuk to teach that we're allowed to write down the Megillah. It's ksov zos, masha kasov kan, zikaron, masha kasov mishnah Torah, ba'sefer, masha kasov b'neviim, divrei Rabbi Yeshua. The way Rabbi Yeshua understands it is that the word zos only includes what it says in Sefer Shmos. Zikaron comes to include what it says in Sefer Dvarim Ben Amalek. And then Basefer comes to include what it says in Sefer Shmuel. And therefore, there's nothing left to teach me to write down the story of Purim. Whereas Rav Lozer Ramadai says, Ksov Zos, Masha Kosov Kan, Ube Mishnah Torah. The word Zos teaches me to write down both what it says in Shemos and in Devarim. And therefore, Zikaron, Masha Kosov in Nevi'im, the word Zikaron relates to what it says in the Nevi'im, and Besefer, Masha Kosov in Megillah. And the word Besefer comes to add that we should write down what it says in the Megillah as well. So, main point. Point number two over here, the drasha of Ksov, Zos, Zikaron, Basefer either teaches us to write Megillas Esther or only teaches us to write the story of Amalek three times, the three times that it already appears earlier in Tanakh, but not Megillas Esther. So that's Machlokas Tanaim. Again, Machlokas Tanaim, whether Ksov, Zos, Zikaron, Sefer teaches us to write the story of Megillas Esther, or only teaches us to write the story of Amalek the three other times it appears in Tanakh. Good. Before we do the next sugya, it's important to realize that whenever a sefer is considered a sefer of Tanakh, it is metame esayadayim. Chazal say that it causes our hands to become tame when we touch it. We don't touch the cloth of a sefer Torah. If we do, it makes our hands tame. Why would it make our hands tame? The sefer is not tame. So the reason Chazal did this is that Chazal were concerned that people would take holy svarim and keep them in a food pantry, keep them near where they keep food. And what's going to happen if you keep it near where you keep food? Rats are going to get to it, and they're going to start eating through the svarim, and it's going to be terrible for the svarim. So Chazal came up with an ingenious plan. They decided that they're going to be metame all svarim, and therefore you're never going to want to keep it near your truma food, because you don't want your truma to become tame. So they're just metame all svarim, and therefore no one's going to ever keep it in their pantry anymore, and that will save the svarim. So one of the ways we indicate that we're talking about a book that is a sefer of Tanakh is we call it that it's metame yasiyadayim. So that's what the upcoming Gemara discusses, about certain books that we weren't sure whether they're included in Tanakh or not. Amar Avido Amar Shmuel. So first of all, Avido Amar Shmuel says, Esther ain't a metame yasiyadayim. The book of Esther is not part of Tanakh. It's not metame yasiyadayim. L'meimer d'savar Shmuel Esther lav bruch HaKodesh ne'emra. What does that mean, that Shmuel thinks that Esther wasn't written in Ruach HaKodesh? V'amar Shmuel Esther bruch HaKodesh ne'emra. But Shmuel, we have good authority that Shmuel holds that it was written in Ruach HaKodesh. So why isn't it a book of Tanakh? So says Gemara, yeah, Nemra Likros below Nemra Lichtov. It's a book that was meant to be read because it was written in Ruach Kodesh, very valuable book, but not to be written in as part of Tanakh. Just because it's Ruach Kodesh doesn't make it something worthy of being part of Tanakh. Meisivei asks the Gemara on this, Remeir Omer, Remeir holds, Koheles Einu Matameyas Yedayim, Koheles is not part of Tanakh, Umachlokas B'Shir HaShirim, and there's a Machlokas whether Shir HaShirim is, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shir HaShirim Matameyas Yedayim, Umachlokas B'Koheles. Rabbi Yossi says, no, Shir HaShirim is definitely part of Tanakh, the Machlokas is whether Koheles is. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Koheles Mikulei Beishamei Mechumri Beisilel. Koheles is actually Machlokas between Beishamei and Beisilel, and this is one of those rare instances where Beis Shammai is more lenient than the Beis Hillel. Aval Rus v'Shir HaShirim v'Esther v'Tam v'Nasei Yadayim. But Rus, Shir HaShirim, and Esther are all v'Tam v'Nasei Yadayim. They're all considered to be real legitimate books of Tanakh. But don't you see bottom line over here that we consider Esther to be a real book of Tanakh? So how can you say that it was only given to be read but not to be written as part of Tanakh? And says the Gemara, Hudamar, Rabbi Yeshua, when he says that it's supposed to be supposed to be part of Tanakh, that's like Rabbi Yeshua taught. Rabbi Yeshua held that it's considered to be part of Tanakh, but other opinions disagree. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya Omer, Koheles Einu Matameyas Yedayim, Nesha Chachmaso Shel Shlomo Hi. That Koheles is not considered part of Tanakh, because it's just wise sayings of Shlomo HaMelech. Amru lo, v'chom say to him, v'chizu b'vad Omer, v'alo k'var nemar v'yedaber shlosh asalav m'mashal, v'omer al tosav al dvarav. So what do you mean? You think this is the only book of wisdom that Shlomo HaMelech had? There's tons of wisdoms that Shlomo HaMelech had. So Maiva Omer, what's the second pasuk that we're quoting over here? What does that add? V'chitei Mimer Tuva Amar, do you buy Yichtiv, do you buy Lo Yichtiv? Tashma Al Tosav Al Devarav. And if you're going to say, no, he said a lot of things, but we have the option of choosing to write it down or choosing not to write it down, no, that's why the pasuk says Al Tosav Al Devarav. So pasuk, do not add anything more. So you see that whatever is written is supposed to be part of Tanakh. So Gemara so Tanya says the Braisa. Now what the Gemara is going to do from here on in is we're going to quote seven different opinions of how we know that Esther was written with Ruach HaKodesh. So again, main point number three, the last point was just a discussion about certain svarim. Whether they're metame yadayim, whether they're really part of Tanakh, whether they're metame yadayim, Esther, Koheles, Shir HaShirim. Good. Those are the svarim that are under question. So now the rest of the daf, and we could already write the main point for the rest of the daf. Main point number four: seven opinions. How we know that Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh. We'll save the end of the main point for the end. Which one is the best opinion? So let's see. Tanya, we have a braisa. Rabbi Lazar Omer. Opinion number one, Rabbi Lazar says, Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nemar Shnemar Vayomer Haman Belibo. How do we know that Esther was written in Baruch HaKodesh? Because the pasuk says what Haman says in his heart. Vayomer Haman Belibo. Well, how do we know what's going on in Haman's heart? Unless we have Baruch HaKodesh. So that's how we know that it's written in Baruch HaKodesh. Second opinion, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nemar Shnemar Vati Esther Milseis Chain Beine Kol Ro'eha. Esther must have been written with Baruch HaKodesh because it says that Esther found favor in the eyes of anyone who saw her. How would we know what people who saw her thought about when they saw her, unless it was written Baruch Chodesh? Rav Meir Omer, a third opinion, Esther Baruch Chodesh Nemra, Shnemra Vayivada Adavar L'Mordechai. Esther must have been written Baruch Chodesh because it says that Mordechai knew what happened. How would Mordechai have ever found out unless he had Baruch Chodesh? Fourth opinion, Rabbi Yossi ben Drumaskis Omer, Esther Baruch Chodesh Nemra, Shnemar Uva that wherever Klal Yisrael was throughout the world, they didn't take any of the spoils of war. Well, how would you know in one city what's going on in another city unless you had Ruach Chodesh? This was before they had they had social media and modern communication. So how would they have known if not for the fact that it was Ruach Chodesh? Fifth opinion. Amr Shmuel, I havai hasam hava mina milsa da'adif mikulu. If I would have been part of this discussion, I would have said a pasuk that's better than all the other pasukim to prove that Esther was Baruch Kodesh. Shenamar, the pasuk says, kimu v'kiblu. What does that mean, kimu v'kiblu? Kimu l'mala, masha kiblu l'mata. It means that the Beis Din Shalmala agreed, the Beis Din up in Shamayim agreed to to what we decided down here to make a Purim, to make a holiday. How would we know what the Beis Din up in Shemayim decided to do if not for the fact that it was Baruch HaKodesh? So that's why Shmuel says my answer is the best answer. So Amar Rava Lukulu Islu Pirch Levar Mid Shmuel. The truth is, Shmuel is right. All of the other proofs, the rest was written Baruch HaKodesh, have a major question on them except for Shmuel's proof, the Lesle Pirch. There's no question on Shmuel's proof. Why? The Rabbi Lazar, well, the fact that what was Rabbi Lazar's proof? Because we know what Haman was thinking in his heart. Maybe we didn't know, but Svaruhu. It's logical to assume what was going on in Haman's heart when Haman then suggests that you should take the man who you want to reward and give him the royal clothing and give him royal treatment. It's obviously he thought in his heart that it was him, so it's just logical. There was no one that was more important to the king than him. So clearly when he started going through all these great things to do for this man, he obviously had himself in mind. Rabbi Akiva, as far as Rabbi Akiva's proof that it was in Baruch Kodesh, that the whole world thought of Esther as something special, maybe Dilma Rabbi Lazar, maybe that's because he yells like Rabbi Lazar. That everyone thought that she was from their nation. All the Chinese people thought she was Chinese. All the French thought she was French. All the Jews thought she was Jew. She was Jew. Everyone thought she was one of them. So that's why she was Noses Chayin. That's why she found favor in everybody's eyes. But not because we have Ruach HaKodesh to know that that's so. It's just because everyone thought that she belonged to them. V'hadir Rabbi Meir, as far as Rabbi Meir's answer, that Esther was Baruch HaKodesh because it says that Mordechai found out, maybe it's because of Bigson Viseresh let the word out, and that's how they found out about it. Maybe that's how Mordechai found out about it, not because Mordechai had any sort of Ruach HaKodesh. V'hadir Rabbi Yossi ben Dormaskis, and as far as Rabbi Yossi ben Dormaskis is proof that Esther was Baruch HaKodesh because it says that they knew what was going on in the other cities, that no one was taking the spoils. Dilma Pristiki Shadur. Maybe they sent out letters that they found out from all the other neighboring places that no one was taking anything. But the Shmuel's proof that they knew what was going up in Beis and Shalmaila, agreeing with the idea of making Purim, Vade, Lesle Pircha. There's nothing you could ask on that. That's a really good proof. Amrava Haina Damri Inchi. So you see from here the old expression that one sharp pepper is better than all the other stuff, all the other bland types of vegetables. Meaning one comment of Shmuel is better than all the other comments, all the other proofs that Esther was written Baruch Kodesh. But the daf concludes with two more proofs that it was written Baruch Kodesh. Kari Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef Amar Mehacher. Rav Yosef says from the following: V'yemei HaPurim Ha'ele Lo Yavru Mitoch HaYehudim. It says in the Megillah that these days of Purim are never going to leave the Jewish people, that Jewish people are always going to celebrate these days of Purim. How could you know that unless you have Ruach Kodesh? You don't know what the future holds, so it's got to be that it was written with Ruach Kodesh. And then the seventh exclamation of Nachum Yitzchak Amar Mehacha, seventh exclamation is V'zichrom Lo Yosuf Mizaram, that their remembrance will never be gone from their children, from the future generations. Again, something that you never could know unless you have Ruach HaKodesh. So again, that last, fourth, final main point of the Amud over here is that there are seven opinions of how we know that Esther was written Ruach HaKodesh. The best one was Shmuel's idea that Kimu V'Kiblu means that Beis and Shalmaila agreed to the decision of Beis and Shalmata to make a Purim. So again, on this Amud we discussed Esther asking to be written down Ledoros. We discussed how we know whether we can learn from the pasuk of Ksov Zosi Karu B'Sefer that her story was supposed to be written Ledoros. We discussed which books are Metame Yesheyadayim and which ones do not make one's hands Tame. And then we discussed seven opinions of proofs that Esther was written for Ruach HaKodesh.